Chumash Vayikra, as you well know, deals a lot with korbanos. That's not the only topic. And at the very beginning of the parsha, in Pasuk Gimel, the Torah says, "Ola korbanos min habakar." If you're going to bring a korban ola from the cattle, "Zachar tamim yakrivenu," it has to be without any blemishes, and it has to be a male animal. "El Pesach Ol Moed Yakriva," so he should bring it to the entrance of Ol Moed, "Lirtzono Lifnei Hashem," in his willingness to be before Hashem. And Rashi, quoting the Gemara, has the following comment: "Yakriv oso milamed shekofen oso," means that at times when a person is chayav to bring a karban, we force him to bring the karban. "Yachol bal karcho," so you might think that we force him to do it against his will. "Talmid lomar lirtzono," the pasuk says no, it has to be to his will. He has to be bring it willingly. "Haketzad," how can we force him, make sure he brings it willingly? "Kofenoso ad sheyoma rotzani," we apply pressure until he says, "Okay, okay, okay, I'll do it." Like figuratively, we twist his arm. All right. And that's what I'm going to do. The Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin has a famous comment in which he writes, how does this work? If we're forcing him, it's really not, he's not doing it willingly. So the Rambam says, more or less, that when it comes to performing mitzvot, a person, a Jew, really, really wants to do the right thing. But his Yetzer Hara gets in the way. And his Yetzer Hara tries to convince him not to do it. So we apply pressure until the pressure that we apply is more powerful than the Yetzer Hara. And when he says, okay, I'll do it, that's what he really, really wants. That's what his innermost feeling really wants to do. And therefore, kofen oso achi yomar rotzani, we force him until he says, I'm willing to do it. And that's how we handle somebody who has to bring a karban and doesn't want to bring it. After a while, we convince him that it's worth his while to bring it. It's the Rambam. But I saw that Rav Pam Zatzal, Shishim and Tarvadas, quotes a mashal from the Chassam Sofer that explains this in a slightly different light. The Chassam Sofer has the following mashal, more or less. There's a person who lives out in the country, and he does an aveira that he's chayv to bring a korban ola for. Let's say he wasn't mekayim a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah d'oraita that he had to do, and he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah d'oraita, and he has to bring a korban ola. He doesn't want to bring a korban ola. Why should he bring a korban ola? Does he know anybody else who goes? He didn't do anything that was so terrible. He only forgot to do a mitzvah. Why should he have to bring a korban ola? Do his neighbors bring the korban? He never sees them going. And he's going to have to go. He's going to have to leave his farm. It's a journey to Yerushalayim. And it's going to be a financial outlay. He's going to buy a korban. Why is he going to do that? So his Yetzer Hara is trying to convince him to stay home. But what's he going to do? All right. Very unwillingly, he sets off on his journey. And he starts heading towards Yerushalayim. And along the way, he meets somebody. He says, "Yangel, where are you going?" "Ah, to Yerushalayim." "Ah, what, you have a family simcha?" "No, I did an aver and have to bring a karban." Like, nobody wants to say that. So he comes up. "I don't know, I have some business I need to take care of," and this and that. And the guy starts asking about what business. He starts making up, you know, all sorts of reasons. And he just feels, why am I doing this? He gets to Yerushalayim, and it gets crowded, and he's used to living in the country, and it's a busy city, And what am I doing here? And he goes to the cattle market and he has to buy the right type of animal to go, and it's a financial outlay. And he's so upset himself why he convinced himself to come. And then he has to go to the mikveh and he has to be metayer himself. And then he goes into the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash. And he's just overwhelmed with holiness. Kohanim b'avodasam, u'levim b'shirim b'zimram, Yisrael, ma'amadam. He sees from a distance the Sanhedrin sitting in the Lishkas HaGozis, and he can see the Mizbeach and the Ashan going up, and this is such an amazing experience. It's like overwhelming for him. And he's so happy that he came. He says to himself, I couldn't miss this all. Thank God I was able to overcome my Yetzahara. I'm so happy that I came. It says the Ksam Sofer. Pasuk says, El Pesach o El Moed Yakrivoso. Yakrivoso Melamit Shekofenoso. We force him to get to the Pesach o El Moed, because he really doesn't want to go. But once it's Lifnei Hashem, when he enters the Azara, Lirtzona Lifnei Hashem, then already it becomes his real Ratzon. Then he's so happy that he went. Rapam took this idea to pass along one message. I think there's a different message that also can be learned from here. There are steps at times that we think we should take to improve our ruchnius, that at the beginning seems so hard, so difficult. It's such a tircha, it's so unnecessary. And we come up with 101 excuses why we don't do it. But if we manage to overcome the Yetzahara and we do it, in the end we're happy that we did. And we sometimes look back at ourselves and say, why is it that we thought otherwise? Why were we so reluctant to take the step? It can be different things for different people. For some people, it's making sure that when they wake up in the morning, they wash Netilas Yadayim. I take a shower, I go on the faucet, I have to do Netilas Yadayim, and that's enough to be so frum. Okay, it's a din in Shulchan Aruch, but and it sometimes gets like a slight getting used to. But once you do it, it's automatic. And is it really that big of a deal? Is it so hard to say Asher Yotzeh if they go to the bathroom? For some people, for people who do it, no. For people who don't do it, maybe it seems that way. Maybe it seems so archaic, but every time I go to the bathroom, I'm going to say a bracha. But to be thankful that, Baruch Hashem, our bodies are working properly, why not? Is it really that hard? Maybe for some people it is, to get up 5 minutes earlier, so that I don't have such a rushed davening, I can concentrate a little bit more. Is it really that hard? It seems that way. Remember, I think I may have told this story before, that my idea of being on time for a minyan was that if a minyan began at 6:30 and I walked in at 6:35, that was pretty good. Again, you know, men have to come in, put on talis and tefillin, takes a few minutes, but I managed to say at least part of Pesukei Dezimra. Well, that was, I felt pretty good. A little over 20 years ago, after my father was nifter, so I have to get to shul, you have to say Kaddish, and the Kaddish is at the very beginning of the davening. And I said to myself, how am I going to do that? Like, I'm going to have to leave for shul like 15 minutes before davening. I'm like, I have to leave a shul at 6:15 to get to shul at 6:20 to have my talis and tefillin on by 6:25 so I can say brachos and be ready to say kaddish at 6:30. Like, how am I going to do that? I just set my alarm for a few minutes earlier, and I realized this is what I needed to do. And as soon as I know that I needed to do that, I did it. And it wasn't so hard. The hard part was making the decision that this is what I should do, and then go ahead and follow up. But the extra 10 minutes or so wasn't so hard. We just think it's hard. We had a whole presentation today on social media. So part of it was making a change. So it's hard to change habits. But it's only hard to change habits often enough until you decide I'm going to change one thing. And I think probably in all the discussion groups, like, what's one thing that you can do? So, choose something. It's really not that hard to change one thing. Whatever it might be. Maybe you'll decide that you're going to refrain from any kind of negative post about anything. I'm just going to speak positively on my social media or not speak. Not to react to anything negative. Maybe make it just something else. Odessa speaks about the person on a ladder. Right? You can go up one rung or go down one rung. That's your nekudat habchira, where you are right now. No one's telling you to jump up 20 rungs, leap up to the top. But we all have an opportunity move up a rung. One rung isn't so hard. It seems that way until you pick up your foot, you put it on the one rung, then it doesn't seem so hard. Ever see a very young child who's beginning to learn how to walk, and you have to encourage him or her to take that first step, and they're teetering and tottering and they're afraid they're going to fall? You hold on, and they take one step, and you're all cheering, etc. The first steps, and a week later, the kid is all over the house, like, walking all over the place. So there's someone there, up above, who's always helping us with that one little step that we need to take. We shouldn't be afraid to take that one step. In the end, we're going to be very, very grateful that when we're lifnei Hashem, it's l'tzono. We're going to say, why did I wait so long to take that one step?